The most famous house in America sits at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. While this expansive home, built in 1800, is currently synonymous with something terrifying in an entirely different way, it's also known to play host to some pretty notable haunts. The White House has been home to every U.S. president since John Adams, and some of them may reside there still. The White House has not only been home to our United States presidents and their families, but it has also hosted many prestigious guests over its rich history. Many of them report seeing apparitions, hearing disembodied voices, or feeling the presence of some of our U.S. presidents. It's been reported that Franklin D. Roosevelt heard a disembodied voice coming from the Yellow Rooms. The voice called out, "I am Mr. Burns." A guard inside the White House heard a similar voice and phrasing later during the Truman administration. It turns out the man who sold the residence and surrounding land to the government in the 1700s was named David Burns. Another noteworthy ghostly resident is known to be Andrew Jackson. He has been heard swearing and stomping around in a surly manner, which apparently mirrors his temperament during his time in office. The Rose Room, which was Jackson's room during his presidency, is reportedly one of the most haunted rooms in the House. Interestingly, this ghost has been reported by Harry Truman and Mary Todd Lincoln herself. Mary Todd Lincoln was into the occult and even hosted many seances within the White House, some of which attended by Abraham Lincoln. The most commonly seen presence in the White House has been none other than Abraham Lincoln himself. His ghost has been seen or felt by several first ladies, including Grace Coolidge, Lady Bird Johnson, and Eleanor Roosevelt. During a stay in the White House in 1942, Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands heard a knock on her door. She answered only to find the ghost of the 16th president standing there in the doorway. She is said to have fainted in response to this ghostly midnight encounter. Another famous Lincoln sighting was that of Prime Minister Winston Churchill. Churchill was a guest in the White House several times during World War II. He recalled one night being faced with Lincoln's ghost as he was getting out of the bath. The ghost of Lincoln was reportedly sitting beside the fireplace of Churchill's room. With its rich and continued history, this house plays its role as a residence, museum, and historic landmark, and may very well be America's most famous haunted house. Welcome to Fright Life, a paranormal podcast. We're your hosts, Monique Rose
and Joss Rose.
And today we have joining us John Bailey.
Hey, everybody.
John is the mastermind behind our creepy music that we have backing our podcast and also our intro music. So thanks for doing that, man.
Yeah,
no problem. Sounds real good.
More to come.
Yes, and he will be joining us today. We will be talking about haunted houses, haunted homes. And I was unaware that one of our most famous houses in America, the White House, is known to have some hauntings.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
It's so crazy. I mean, it makes sense.
No, I love it. And it kind of is connected, like the election is coming up soon, Halloween's coming up soon.
Yeah, it's the perfect story for this exact episode on this exact weekend.
Yes.
So good.
So it sounds to me like there are a lot of residual hauntings at the White House, and with that I wanted to get into kind of the breakdown of types of hauntings. So basically, I mentioned residual, and that is something where it's believed that it's more, that haunting is more of an echo of the past, or a repetitive thing that is sort of frozen in time, and sort of that burst of energy that just keeps repeating itself and echoing through the years. So a lot of times that happens with somebody who has really like made an impact in that space, or a traumatic event has occurred there, and it just kind of solidifies that in space and time, and it has just a faint echo of it.
So that, it's not always, I don't know if that's like a ghost then exactly, right? Because that could be something different altogether if it's like an echo of that moment happening.
Yeah, I think that it's they're, from what I can gather, they're just living out a, you know, an event that they went through, and it could be traumatic or non-traumatic, but it's not necessarily like, oh, hey, there's somebody in my space, I'm going to haunt them because I don't want them here.
Right.
Right.
They don't interact.
Right.
So that leads me to the interactive type of haunting, which is known in the community, the paranormal community, as an intelligent haunting. Generally, that is someone you, a ghost or an entity that you can actually communicate with. They are aware of that you're there. They make you aware that they are there through different actions. And you can kind of talk back and forth, communicate back and forth with them in some way if you can figure out how to do that. So then there is a poltergeist, which a lot of you have probably heard that term from the movie Poltergeist, which actually does not portray what the common belief of a poltergeist is nowadays.
Right.
So there's this kind of new belief that, like a residual haunting, which is like an imprint on time, or leftover extra energy that imprinted on time, a poltergeist is like burst of energy that can be created by an event.
Oh, okay. So, but like a current event?
Yes.
Okay.
Or there's a kind of a new belief out there that has linked this to adolescent females, which is interesting. I don't know. Yeah. But like, because of how much, and it's mostly females, but there aren't, it's just an adolescent thing, mm-hmm. where it's known to be linked to these people who are kind of going through something.
Yeah.
And then they don't know what to do with this extra energy, and they are usually not conscious of doing it, but it's like they're putting these things out there.
Okay. So like major changes in somebody's life, and they don't know how to kind of calculate that, and so that's all that extra built up feelings and anxiety and all that stuff kind of like...
It comes out in actual force.
Wow.
Well, okay.
So, yeah.
So it's generated by the living...
By a living person.
Okay.
You can kind of create an entity, but it's not
a
being on its own.
Completely different than what Hollywood has told us.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, and still not like a proven fact, but it is something that people are looking into.
It's a new theory.
Yeah,
sure.
It's a new theory that it's created energy. Kind of like, I'll give another film reference, but Carrie goes through a traumatic event and suddenly she's... has like telekinetic powers.
Okay.
It's a little bit like that, but it's lesser.
Still supernatural.
To where they're in control of it, and they don't even know they're doing these things. They can be a person who's creating this energy that's like popping glass jars open and knocking things off the shelves.
Oh,
would be afraid of that happening because they don't know they're doing
it. So they might assume that, oh my goodness, my place is haunted, it's a ghost, blah, blah, but it could be based off of their own energy.
Yeah, like manifested.
That's kind of cool.
Yes, from some crazy like energy power.
Yeah. When you think of the name Poltergeist and of course the movie references, it always has this kind of like negative, like it's a demonic thing, you know, like, oh my goodness, it's a poltergeist, it's going to haunt you. It's they're the ones that scratch down your back when you're sleeping, you know.
Right.
Well, that is the last type of haunting on the list, right?
Yes.
Is a demonic haunting or like a negative spirit. I mean, demonic implies that, you know, you're following like the religious idea of like demons versus that kind of thing, which some people subscribe to and other people don't, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, a negative energy that's infecting the environment and causing crazy stuff to happen.
Right.
Right. And those are linked generally to illness, neuroses, like causing these things for the people living in that environment as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more than just like, ooh, I hear a bump in the night. It's like, I can't get out of bed all of a sudden, and I'm having dark thoughts, and I'm having these things happen. And that is linked to demonic hauntings. Another thing I'd like to note, as it's related to the religious aspect, is that some religions believe that all hauntings do fall into this category, and that demons are actually... responsible for making you, they want you to believe it is your loved one visiting you, or they want you to believe they are a harmless little girl who needs help, so then you seek them out and start interacting, and then they can latch on to you and harm your soul,
right?
Basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's terrifying.
That one is the scariest of yes, for sure.
Yeah.
I tend to believe personally that maybe these all exist,
mm-hmm.
right? I want to believe that spirits are just hauntings or spirits of the deceased visiting. You know, there's that kind of old idea that spirits are here and they need help, or they have unfinished business and you're supposed to kind of help them cross
right.
over to the other side. I don't know if I think that or if I think they're already on the other side and they're just kind of bouncing
in.
Back and forth
yeah.
at their leisure, but I'm not sure. I mean, who knows, really?
Yeah.
So
who's
have
to say?
Yeah, but have you, either of you experienced any of these types, specific types of haunting?
Yes, and even though mine is not, I don't know what category mine would go into, because it wasn't, it never harmed anybody, but it was, you know, definitely scary. And so when I was a kid, I lived in this house. I grew up in Hood River, and my family, we moved around a lot, just, you know, paycheck to paycheck kind of thing. And so we moved out to this old house, and it was a two-story large house, three-bedroom kind of a thing. And you could definitely tell it was old. And in fact, recently I looked it up because I have the address burned into my brain. And it was built in 1877.
Whoa.
So it was kind of an old house. And you can't find pictures of it anywhere, which is weird because Google is a thing.
Right. Interesting.
Wow. So you can see it on Google Earth. You can see the roof of the place.
Okay.
But
so it's still there.
It's still there. But if you try to, and I know how to get there, obviously, I just don't want to go up the driveway.
Yeah.
But if you, if you try to look on like Trulia or Zillow, you cannot, there's no pictures of
Interesting.
It. There's a picture of the trees next to the house, not the house.
Oh,
so
weird.
I thought it was kind of strange, but, so in this house, when you went upstairs, it was kind of like an H, layout. So there was like a bedroom on your left, a bedroom on your right, went down the hallway, bedroom on your left, bedroom on your right, and the bathroom was at the end of the hallway straight ahead. Okay. The bedroom on the right was shared by my brother and I. He's 4 years older than me. And at this time I think I was about six. And the one on the left wasn't actually like a bedroom. It was more of like a little office space. So we made that into like our video game room.
Nice.
The bedroom down the hall and to the left was my parents' room. And then the one on the right was locked. And we
just
didn't
locked?
Have the key. Yeah, we didn't have the key.
What?
So the bedroom on the right was locked. We didn't have the key. But we knew it was there. And so my dad was like, well, whatever. I'll talk to the landlord, blah, blah, blah. Okay. A lot of the stuff I'm going to tell you guys seems like, you know, great plots for movies and whatnot, but this is 120% true, okay?
That's super
true. We
just
want the 100% true. Don't add the 20%.
Okay. 20% for a bonus episode. Okay.
Okay.
So it was locked. We didn't use it. That summer, my brother went to a baseball camp. It was like a three-day camp down in Yakima. So my dad drove him down there, dropped him off, came back. And as a surprise, because my brother was kind of getting, you know, older, he wanted his own room, that kind of thing like that, my dad was like, hey, I'm just going to call a locksmith. We're going to open up this bedroom and we'll decorate it up with a bunch of baseball stuff for Matt when he gets home. So they did. They opened the door to this thing, and it was kind of like a soft pink, like the stuff. And I'm just going to describe the room here, but it was like a soft pink. And then there was still clothes in the closet.
What?
And these clothes, again, sounds like a movie thing, but these clothes were super, super old clothes. It was like those heavy textured kind of canvasy, almost like dress, and it had like lace on the sleeve, like down by the cuffs. Like, and there were little
no
girl
way.
Dresses. They were like 6-7-year-old girl dresses.
Oh, no.
So my dad's like, well, to hell with this. Just shoves them in a garbage bag, throws them out, paints the room blue, you know.
Whoa.
And so, you know, that
so
was...
So as, like, ghost activity goes, the first thing that, like, riles them up is when you
is when
make
my
changes
dad
like
changed that.
That
room.
Yeah.
He entered the room, repainted it blue for my brother, threw everything that was in the closet, all these girl clothes and stuff like that, out, okay? Fast forward to maybe a few weeks later, okay? My brother and his friend are... Yeah, like, we had a friend that was a family friend, and he'd stay the summers with us, so he'd come and stay the night. they had a bunch of our moving boxes in my brother's bedroom, and they were piling them all up, you know, making forts and stuff like that, okay? And they were in there by themselves, and then I remember hearing them, like, freak out and just run out of the room and go downstairs. So I was in my room. I went downstairs to see what they were doing. And my brother said that he had his fort, our friend Chris had his fort, and one of the boxes, they weren't even around them, just got like smacked off of one the top of their fort. Like it went, you know, like 7 feet away, just like boom, off. And they're like, what the, you know, heck? And so they went running out of there. And my dad's like, whatever, you know, it's just the wind.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the wind.
Yeah.
So is the wind.
It's just the wind. So
that was windy in these houses.
Yeah. So, you know, listeners, this was prior to us ever owning an AC unit. So anyways, that was the first kind of incident. The second incident, still in summer, maybe a few weeks later, that video game room that we told you about, all it really is like a love seat and then a little entertainment,
like a console.
And we had our regular Nintendo in there. Regular Nintendo to all of you old school guys. We never called it the NES.
Yeah, right.
Yes. So they're in there playing Contra, and the door is kind of cracked, you know, maybe like a foot from closing. And my brother swears to this day, he's 38 years old, and swears to this day that he saw a hand grab the edge of the door, like the fingers kind of wrap around the inside, and slam it shut, like kind of pull it back and then remove the hand. So the door slammed shut. Instantly, they thought that it was me.
Where is the door? Like if you're sitting on the love seat?
To your right. So you're facing the TV. Him and his friend are sitting facing the TV. And then literally maybe 3 feet away is the entrance to the room and
like
the door.
So periphery.
Yeah, and so in his peripheral vision, he's sure he saw somebody grab it, and they were very like alert to stuff bothering them because I was totally spazzy as a kid. So they'd be in the middle of like fighting a boss level, and I'd go
and
jump
there.
And I'd shake my booty in front of the screen, be like, ha ha, you're dying, you know.
Yeah.
Little
being a
brother
jerk.
Antics. Yeah. Okay,
so they instantly thought it was me, and they were like, you know, let's get him. So they put down their controllers, open the door, and they run across to where my room was, across the hallway, and I wasn't in there. So they thought I might have bolted downstairs. So they come barreling downstairs, and my mom and dad are sitting on the couch in the front room right downstairs from there. And my mom's like, shh, I just got Johnny asleep. And I was laying on her lap, and she had, like, you know, rubbing my back and stuff like that, and I fell asleep on her lap, and I had been down there for, like, over an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
So they got down there, you know, they freaked out, ran downstairs, telling my dad all about it. So my dad's like, there's nobody up there.
It's the wind.
So he goes up there and he's looking around all the rooms. He even like pulls down, we had one of those like Toy Story style attics where you pull the string and the
nightmare style attics. Yeah.
Best,
got it.
The best attics.
Haunted attic.
Yeah. He's like, oh, there's nothing up here. You know, you guys are just playing too many, you know, video games or whatever, right? So,
that is the problem.
That is the problem.
Winning you or the video games.
Blame it on the music and the video games.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was summer jams with my brother and his friends, okay?
Okay.
Fast forward to school year. My mom drops us off for school, comes back to the house, and she always had, you know, maybe an hour and a half of doing some, like, household cleaning before she had to get ready to go to work. So she said that she was downstairs in the front room vacuuming, and Duke, our gigantic yellow lab, was just kind of sleeping, you know, laying down at the bottom of the stairs.
Just labbing about.
Just labbing around.
This is a Labrador dog, not a secret laboratory. Just for clarification.
Right. Okay. Yeah, no, we'll get into the secret rooms in a second.
Okay.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, there's a secret room in this house. So, my mom said she's just vacuuming, just like she had done any other day. And Duke instantly pops up to his feet, and he's just staring up the stairs.
Nope.
Not freaked out or anything. Just staring, like he heard something.
Yeah.
He's been alerted.
He's been alerted.
Yeah.
She's just kind of keeping an eye on him, still vacuuming around. And then he barks a couple of times, and then kind of gets, you know how dogs kind of stoop down in the front, like they bend down and like
action
hair,
position.
Yeah, like they're about to pounce, and he's growling and barking, growling and barking, like he sees something and something's coming close or whatever like that. So she's like, you know, Duke, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, turns off the vacuum, and she goes and grabs his collar, and she's trying to pull him. She was gonna put him outside, and he won't budge. And this dog is huge; like he was one of the biggest dogs I've ever seen. And he will not budge. He's like in full protective mode, staring up the stairs.
No.
So she goes up there.
All the hairs on my arm are like straight up.
I see it. So she goes up there. Like, I don't, this is normal life for me.
Yeah.
I go upstairs. My mom goes upstairs, looks around, nothing's up there. And mom does the typical scary movie thing. Hello?
Yeah.
Anyone up here? You know, that kind of stuff, right? Goes back downstairs, whatever. Duke, get in the kitchen, you know, that kind of thing. So he goes into the kitchen, lays down. She starts vacuuming again, dusting, wiping down furniture, all this stuff. Again, he pops up, comes back around the bottom of the stairs and just staring upstairs. Like, he hears something up there. But this time he's not all crazy. So she's like, what is he doing? Then mom hears water running.
What?
Yes. Here's water running. So she's like, what the hell's going on upstairs? Goes upstairs all the way to the end of the hallway where the bathroom is. And the faucet, the wash your hands faucet, is turned on. So my mom already knows the stories from my brother.
Yeah.
So she turns it off. And she's like, okay, you know, anyone out there? Any ghosts? Everything's fine. I'm fine. You're fine. We all live in this house together. Hopefully you're a nice guy.
Yeah.
As she walks downstairs slowly. She says she gets to the bottom of the steps, maybe like a couple more stairs, full blast both knobs of the faucet and the bathtub.
What?
So she goes up there with Duke, like holds him by the back of his collar, and Duke is like clawing to get up to those steps, like,
oh,
you know,
gosh,
just digging, and she's like trying to hold him back. And she gets up there, turns it off, calls my dad. My dad rushes home from work.
It's just the wind.
Says it's the wind.
Pretty much. My dad's just like, that's the worst. Lynn, you don't know what you're seeing. You know, like, that type of stuff, okay? So that right there is the most compelling, like, oh my gosh, something's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's like, but interacting specifically with objects, like it's measurable. You know that the sink turns off when you turn it off and you look at it.
It
is not going.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know.
And when she went up there, she had to twist them to the right to turn all of them off.
Yeah. Right.
So then, so at this point in the story, I'm thinking, you know, it's either a ghost or some psycho that's living in our, you know,
secret locked room.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's somebody in there.
Which is always the scariest possibility, I feel like.
Sure. Yeah, I'd rather be haunted than murdered.
Yeah. So, exactly.
So then...
Ghost over axe murder every day.
Okay, so then my personal experience.
That should be a t-shirt.
My personal experience. And when I tell these stories, I never, I never believed, because I never personally saw anything.
Right.
But the more that I think about things as a kid, I do remember things, and they're extremely faint, so don't quote me on them. But I do remember things of, like, being asleep in my room and seemingly thinking that there was another child, like in there, like, you know, looking through my toy box and playing when I would wake up in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, whatever, and go back to sleep. And I don't know if any, you know, listeners have ever felt this, but, you know, being in bed and then it feels like somebody sits at the edge of your bed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where there's like a pressure, a gravity kind of pulls your bed down a little bit. And I would write it off as like, it's just like my dad checking on me or my mom checking on me. So there were those kind of things. But what I physically had to deal with was my brother and I, alongside the stairs that went up to the second story, it had like wood paneling on the walls, very old school.
Like you do.
Yeah, like you should in your house.
There's trees out there. I feel like they should be in
here as well. Yeah. So there was like the typical 80s basement wood paneling style, okay, that went along there. And we my brother and I, because that was kind of like a long carpeted area that went from that side of the thing to the kitchen, we would always play like football on our knees, hands and knees. Mm-hmm. So you would punt the ball over to the other person, and then, you know, as my brother comes towards me, I'm trying to tackle him down, that kind of stuff, okay. Right? So I tackle him when we do this kind of into the side of the stairwell, and we hear click, click.
Stop. Okay. Keep going. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, I'll stop.
I'm ready.
I hear like click, click, like that, and pop open a basically hidden door that was hidden right there at the along the panels of wood.
That's like the ultimate dream.
Or nightmare.
Yeah.
So
exciting, nonetheless.
So we're like, whoa, I didn't know there was a door here. Like, we kind of got excited.
Yeah.
Right? So my brother's like, yeah, let's, you know, take a look and see what's
down
there.
Go in there.
Yeah.
You know, well, he's like 11. I'm turning 7 at this point.
Yeah,
right?
And it's like your own Goonies adventure. Yeah, that's
so
what I
like,
mean.
You know, because when you're a kid, you always think it's kind of like, what was it? Dane Cook always talked about. He's like, I want a house that has like hidden corridors in the walls.
Yeah.
So I can just look at people, see, like, are they enjoying my party?
Right.
You know? So it was like that. And so we're like, yeah, let's go down there. Okay. So you had these little like wood, you know, basement style steps that went down. And then a little drawstring pole light in the middle of the room for the light bulb. The floors were just like dirt and sand. And this basement was not part of our basement.
What?
So it was kind of like you went down to this room that was about, I don't know, 12 by 12, but it was unaccounted for from the other basement.
All the bodies are hidden.
I mean, for real.
Under the dirt floor.
Probably. The other thing, too, is that, it was kind of weird because when you get to the top of the steps, I don't know why it would be like that though, because when you got to the top of the steps, there was a lock, but it was on the inside of the door. You know,
like a
little hook lock.
Right.
I'm like, well, why would you want to unlock it from the inside of the door? Especially if you, like, if you
And there was nothing else in there. It was just like totally empty room.
Yeah. And just kind of, brick layer style walls. Like, but they used like kind of, you know, like the gray stone rocks.
Right.
And just kind of walled up. If you went outside the house and around the front, there was a, like, around the front yard, it dipped way down, and then there was a door that went to your, you know, your basement.
Mm-hmm.
And you went in there, and it was a very small basement. It was only, like, you know, 6 feet deep, but then it was kind of, like, long.
Yeah.
So we had, like, our chest freezer with all our, like, meats and stuff like that in there, and then we'd put our bites and crap in there.
Yeah.
But this room was not...
This room was on the other side of the stone wall that we had no idea about.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa.
So
creepy.
Nothing super supernatural about
right.
it, but I'm thinking, like, what was this room used for?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, because from the outside, if you're standing in the front room and you're looking at this at the stairwell, you cannot tell there's a door there.
Cool.
So watching a lot of Lifetime movies...
Yeah, it's definitely
yeah.
where
and
the bodies
things,
are.
I'm like, oh... They used to bring children down there and torture and kill them.
Right. It's definitely something linked to something creepy.
So here's the crazy part. And I don't want to go on for too long, but we moved once we saw that that was part of there and the haunting-ish things kept happening. We moved. And I was like 7 when that happened. Fast forward 10 years later.
Okay.
I'm 17. I'm in the 11th grade. My science teacher and English teacher... they were roommates. They were like, you know, fresh out of college teachers, and they shared a room. And one day, my English teacher, Mrs. Bard, was in the science classroom, and she was talking to her roommate, and I just kept on hearing them be like, no, we need to get a new place now. No, it's just too scary to stay there. Well, like these kind of things, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, this looks like a perfect segue for me to not do my work.
Yeah.
And to start the conversation.
Your ears perked up.
Yeah.
You love talking to people to get out of work.
Yep. So I go, what's the matter? You guys live in a haunted house? And she's like, yeah, super haunted, right? So I said, yeah, I used to live in one as a kid out kind of in the countryside of Hood River. It's super freaky. And she goes, really? We live in the countryside of Hood River, too. And I said, yeah, mine was 2214 Riverdale Road. I remember. She goes, are you freaking kidding me? That's where we live.
No.
Man. Cool.
So she said, she goes, I'm not even kidding you. That's where we live. And she goes, right now we can't even muster up courage to go upstairs. We have sleeping bags down in the front room that we're sleeping in and like literally trying to find a different place to move.
Okay. I want to go here. I want to go to this house and investigate it.
Yeah.
Let's find out who lives there.
Are you coming?
No, I'll never step foot.
We need you. You're going to be the bait. Remember me?
Remember me?
Little Johnny.
Remember me? Come pluck my eyeballs out. No, she... So that's the thing is... That's my whole story. That it's one thing to hear those things from your siblings.
Yeah.
You know, and parents yeah. as a kid, and then kind of not really experience it, and then to have that valid, you know,
right,
the validness of it, you know, 10 years later, it just pops up,
yeah,
from different people. And I was just like, okay, yeah, something's going on with the house. And I've recently, when I've been down at my brother's house, have talked to him, and I'm like, hey, remember when we lived at Riverdale Road? And he was like, oh, you mean the ghost house?
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I'm like, do you think that things really happened to you? And he's like, I'll put it this way. I'm in my late 30s, and I won't even drive down Riverdale Road.
Wow.
Like, when I visit Hood River. Like, he's like, that place scared the bejesus out of me. So
bejesus. Also should be on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Just in case we have, you know, younger listeners.
Yes. Yes. That is terrifying.
So that's my story.
And I've grown up in haunted houses. And that scared. That was good.
Man, that's just so crazy, though. The thing about the dog at the bottom of the stairs,
yeah.
Like, I can't stop thinking about that.
Yeah.
That's
all true.
Wigging me out.
That's really cool. So, it sounds to me like I would be interested to know, like, what the teachers were experiencing in that space. Yeah. And that's why I said I want to go there, because I want to try to interact with it.
Yeah.
To me, it sounds a little residual. Because whenever you get things like shutting doors and turning faucets and in other areas of the house,
mm-hmm. yeah.
it seems like they're just kind of existing in that space without interacting in that space. Well, they're kind of going about their day.
Well, yeah, but that could also be... So residual, I feel like, is like repeating a single moment over and over again. Like you see accounts of... people with hauntings in their house where they're like, yeah, every like third day of, you know, the week or whatever, like I see this woman walk down the stairs and go out the kitchen door. Like
it's an echo.
Yeah, like she's
same, but it's just the same
thing. Yeah, it's that same thing. So
okay, well there is the aspect though of residual that it's just that they're existing
like the others?
Yes. They're existing without knowing you're there. They're on the other side of the veil, like in the movie. Are you talking about the Nicole Kidman
yes.
movie?
Yeah.
Yes. And they're sort of just as haunted as you are.
But I think that's more of an intelligent thing.
They just like, you just haven't made that connection
right.
yet? Okay.
Yeah, because they're intelligently like, I need to take a bath. I'm going to the bathroom to turn on the faucet.
What's crazy with that is it can kind of delve into like, interdimensional stuff
yeah.
like of time like there's a Ghost Hunters episode
yeah I was just gonna talk
and
about
I can
that.
Never remember the details except they're in this space and I think they're in like a historic home.
It's a train station.
No, so you're thinking of a different one. They're in a historic home in this one and they're saying because they like to try and make those connections so they're like, so and so, are you here?
Yeah.
And they're in her bedroom, so it's a well-known, like, they know who the ghost is. They know who used to inhabit this bedroom. So it's a historic home of some sort, of significance. And they say, you know, are you here? And on their EVP recorder, they pick up a echoey woman's voice saying, hello? Yes, I'm here. Where are you?
Oh.
So I wonder if, like, in her time, she's
compelling.
Hearing random voices of these people, like, ghost hunting for her.
Like, where are you?
While she lives there, even.
Someone's in my house. What's
yes.
going on?
Yeah.
So that kind of brings up a crazy... Because suddenly they're just like, I'm going to take a bath.
Didn't you... That... I mean, I don't want to get super sidetracked, but I have to.
Okay.
That's, I mean, that's part
you,
of it.
Didn't you hear one time at work, you were in, like, the big classroom at the end, and you heard somebody at the front door be like, hello?
Yes.
And then you went to check and no one was there?
At work?
Yes.
Yeah, I hear stuff there all the time. That I don't know about. There's something weird At that building. At the school. And I don't know why. I think it's attached to a thing rather than, like, the space, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
For anybody who doesn't already know, Monique owns a preschool, and John used to work there. So when they talk about the school, that's like...
Yeah.
And there's some creepy...
We'll make that an episode.
Yeah, we'll do some digging on that. And then I'm opening a second school, actually, and it's an older building.
Twice as haunted.
In Oregon City.
Easily.
And
that's the first thing she asked for.
I did.
Yeah, right.
Any old, historic, haunted buildings that I could put a school in for kids?
But actually, in the meeting, to sign the lease, I said, my final question before we sign this, is this building haunted? And he said, what do you want the answer to be?
I think I saw, like, a Facebook meme or something like that with like a house for sale sign,
yeah,
and then above it there's a sign that says not haunted, like on the for sale sign. That's just
funny.
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, I feel that when I lived there that is probably like, that's what I've always thought was kind of like that movie The Others.
Yeah,
because when I think back of my personal experiences of like I mentioned, you know, sitting at something sitting at the edge of my bed,
yeah,
which I wrote it off as like, oh, it's my parents, you know, but it's like middle of the night.
Yeah.
Or kind of waking up and peeking out and thinking that there's another child in here, look, you know, playing with
and
my toys.
And she's like playing with your
not,
toys, but
they're
not waking you up.
They're not waking me
play.
Up. She's being quiet. She's just kind of looking like, oh, I didn't know he had this one.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Never communicating with me at all.
Right, right.
Just, you know, oh, I'm just sitting here on the bed. Well, what else is there around the room? And so I always felt, and I never felt scared.
Yeah.
I never felt
that
I was threatened. I was just like, what else? I'm going to go back to bed.
So, or even like when your brother's room moved to that little girl's room, which obviously wasn't used. And then they built a fort. The girl's like, what is this doing in my room?
Yeah.
Like maybe it was just, she didn't realize. And there's these little glimpses of like, then she sees the reality, and so that's
they might
a whole.
They might have been, and I again, I was asleep, but they might have been, you know, kind of noisy and loud in that room, and so went and shut the door, or you know, whatever it is.
I
think that there is, personally, judging off of my brother's story with that, I think that if the idea of like the others, the other dimension, is accurate, then it's not just a little girl. I think there's a family there,
right, right.
And the reason why is because my brother swears to this day that the hand that grabbed the door was an older man's hand. Like 50, 60 years old.
And to get those details.
Yeah.
Like your brother
saw that hand. He saw it.
Yeah. And that's like the dad. Like, you boys are being too loud, slamming this door.
Yeah. And I asked him, I go, well, then why did you think that it was me?
Yeah.
And
because your brain's trying to come up with.
That's what he was
doing.
He said, I was just in the moment
trying to rationalize
like what the hell,
and
you know, it's Johnny, because I would always do it,
so
his brain made the connection, must be Johnny,
but he overlooked the fact that he
later
had
when
seen,
he's thinking back on
right.
it after my dad had gone up there, he was sitting there thinking like, oh yeah, it couldn't have been Johnny,
right?
That wasn't a kid's hand, that was a grown man's hand.
Interesting
parallel dimension.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of that theory, that it's like planes kind of like crossing over momentarily, like kind of like the Matrix or something, like where you see,
or the Upside Down from Stranger Things.
Right.
Yes, yes.
But not as sinister as that. It's like,
no, but how like, you know, Winona Ryder could ask a question to Will, and then he could light up
somehow,
the thing.
Right.
Somehow
answer.
Light up the
Yeah.
And
that was kind of also an interesting thing about Bly Manor. One of the characters seems like she's like skipping through memories, but I'm trying not to be too spoilery, but
yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
She's like,
it's just off track. It's
off
a linear track,
right?
And that's where
it's like reliving that moment and then having the realization, oh wait, what was I doing here?
Is that in the
yeah, it's part
of it, because the Haunted Hill Hill House had something similar with the bent neck.
Things are off track.
Constantly reliving that moment.
Yeah. But at different stages of life, though.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
It expands on that
idea
a little bit, which is cool.
But that's the crazy part, is that has to deal with like space and time, not just like living and dead, not just like a veil of the afterlife.
Which I'm a believer that we live in a very, it's kind of like video games. Like, we live in, like, the NES Mario world where we're very, you know, we start here and we go to here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very streamlined 2D kind of thing like that. But outside of that, I personally think that there is more of a 3D or a spherical thing with space and time.
Yeah.
For sure.
So crazy.
That's something
just
that I
all,
wanna...
It's just all our brains can handle.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and that,
our
that's,
timeline.
Yeah.
That's kind of something that we were talking about before on the last episode. We touched on, like, you can only accept, like, what you know.
Yes.
So if you're seeing... like your brother seeing the hand pulling up, his mind accepts that information, but then like interprets it,
adapts it.
This is
fit
that was Johnny's hand for sure.
That works.
Took it from an old man's hand, and not like, you know, ancient man, but like, you know, a grown 45, 50 year old man's hand to that must have been a 6 year old's hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what he knows.
Yes. Right. And we'll get into all of those things. We have some really great stories that we want to delve into in later episodes that like go into that intertwining time and space and kind of all the things that come along with that. One thing I want to mention in the types of hauntings, because we kind of laid that all out in the beginning, that we didn't actually cover, which reminded me of just your like little kid shenanigans.
Yeah.
And this, some people believe it's demonic, like loosely related to the demonic ones, but it's tricksters.
Oh, yeah.
So it's sort of like poltergeist, sort of like demonic, sort of like a regular spirit, all of which an intelligent thing just messing with you.
Would that be kind of in that like elemental category?
It sort of is. Then? It's not someone who existed and lived and then died and now is just doing this in the afterlife. It's like an actual thing just created to mess with this plane of existence.
Interesting.
Knocking things over, hiding things.
So like flubber.
In weird places. Kind of like just this chaos. It's kind of like a chaos demon kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is interesting, too. Because we brought that up in the last podcast about the elemental, which I have to just learn more about.
Yeah.
Is the idea that something is out there that just exists to exist and wasn't... Because my understanding of hauntings and ghosts and... everything is someone was once here, now they have departed, and their spirit can visit or is stuck or can go back and forth. And that's mostly what I subscribe to in my general knowledge base and my general belief system, is that mostly people who were here and have died, and now it's their spirit, their energy, their essence lingering or returning. But there's a lot under this umbrella.
Yeah, there's tons of different categories and theories on stuff.
Right.
But I think as we go and we talk about other hauntings, I don't know if we'll even have time to go into the stories that you and I have.
I don't think so. We'll have to do a part two of this one.
Yeah. But I think it's really cool to, like, here was my experience. Like, how can we classify that?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of an interesting...
Well, I'd like to get in... to that space. This is where I want to branch off and start actually investigating for these episodes, because we don't know if John's house was residual-ish or interactive and intelligent really until we try to interact.
Yeah.
Or someone does.
Sure.
And that's what a lot of that is. Like, knock twice if you're here. Do the, you know, and see if you can get that A-B conversation going, whether it's actually vocalization or different interactive ways to communicate non-verbally, but only then would you really know.
I mean, I don't even know if anybody actually lives there nowadays. I know that the landlord lived next door, and he passed clear back, you know, maybe a couple years after we moved out of that place, and so then his wife and son were, you know, kind of renting it out for a while, and that's how my teachers got it. But I don't really know. I've driven by it, and it's a long driveway to get up to it, so you can't even see the house from the road.
Oh, okay.
But I've told my wife, I'm like, oh, it's right up there, and then I speed away.
Yeah.
So, anyone else that wants to Google Earth and look at it, 2214 Riverdale Road, Hood River, Oregon, 97031.
And if that is your house,
Sorry.
Right.
Nobody right go there. Yeah. Just look at it.
Yeah, don't go and, like, you know, knock it over with a bulldozer.
If
but,
you
know,
live there, though, send us an email. Let us know how haunted it is for you.
Yeah, we want to know.
So, I mean, in the space we are now, I am kind of scared to I don't want to investigate our own space where we currently live.
Right.
But other people claim that this space is haunted. And we do hear, we do see some things and hear some things. I think it's more like people moving in and out of here, not like a solid haunting.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have one resident ghost here. I'm not sure if she's a residual energy or not. But we've
she's
been told
here.
Yeah. So, and we've been told by two different intuitives, like a medium and who actually is a medium, like classifies himself as a medium. That
mm-hmm.
is like what he does. And then someone who is a sensitive who doesn't practice any of this
but sensitive
still
to those energies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few weeks apart, these people don't know each other. They both came into this space and they were like, "Oh, you know, there's an elderly woman here who just goes around checking the windows, checking the doors, making sure everything's secure and nice."
Yeah,
why
she's
pay
more
for a maid?
Right.
Protective, I think, of.
But she doesn't interact with us at all.
No.
Like, there's no.
So that could be similar to, you know, what I experienced. Or
yeah.
Like, it could be her living in her realm.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and what's interesting is the woman who used to lived here, like, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And owned, she had a store downstairs.
Yeah.
A general store, and then she lived up here, and she passed away while living here. So it was, I mean,
so this
I don't know
like,
if it was actually in this house, but this is where she spent all of her time.
Yeah. So to her, if, you know, if there was the afterlife thing, this would be her home.
Right. Right. So she's here.
Well, hi.
That's Inez. She's
Inez.
Yeah, Inez.
But we haven't actually ever communicated with her. We've just heard her kind of closing doors and stuff. And then we had, yeah, two mediums. That was totally cool.
That was
because one medium, we're like, okay, that makes sense. And then a second person came in. Oh, you know, there's an elderly woman in Olivia's bedroom. And we're like, what? Thinking someone had wandered in. And
yeah.
They're like, no, I mean like.
Like we
a
can,
ghost
we can,
version.
We can
she's standing over there.
Yes. And I was
we
like, oh, yeah, we do know,
yeah.
Actually. I'm glad you pointed that out, though, because that's a second person in
that's
a few weeks of time to confirm that that's sort of the
yeah.
the person here.
One's a theory, two's a confirmation.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was cool. But
well, there's a lot of places around here. There's kind of a rich history of, like you mentioned in the first episode, a rich history of Oregon City area.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of places that if you guys ever in the future go on some ghost hunts, I will cover your six.
Cool.
Yeah, we want
yeah,
to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah, we're not opposed to having friends on the show like more often. I think it's a good dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and yeah, I want to get out and check out some actual spots.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy some equipment, get it, put it to use.
Yeah, we'll do that. If anybody knows
proton packs,
yeah.
If anybody's got a proton pack laying around that they're not using, we will buy it for you from you at cost. But you know, I as our listenership grows, you know, if anybody has recommendations for good equipment to grab, definitely drop us a line. You can email us frightlifeparanormal@gmail.com, or you can find us on Instagram. Fright Life Paranormal.
Thanks so much for joining us today, John.
Yeah, not a problem.
We loved hearing your stories.
So good. So many creepy tales from your super haunted childhood home.
I love it. And we hope the rest of you have had a frightful time with us here on Fright Life, a paranormal podcast.
Thanks for listening, you guys. We'll see you next time.
Don't forget to vote.